You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. The Miami Heat held their exit interviews over the weekend, and Pat Riley gave his annual end-of-season press conference. Always good for some great quotes, some tidbits, maybe a little bit of insight onto what Riley's plan is over the offseason. David, I know there was a lot to take away from this. Let's just start with this idea that Riley said a couple of different times that there are no obstacles, there's only opportunities, right? His typical Rileyisms. He talked about having to tighten the screws on the Heat culture. Mm-hmm. And then he mentioned a couple different times ways to acquire a superstar. He mentioned that you need one of those everyday guys, the Ox, as he's named them. He
needs all the time, baby.
All the time, baby. And he mentioned a specific way. He talked about that the Brian Grant signing, yes. Eddie Jones signing, as yes. sign-in trades. And he was kind of leaning into that a little bit. I'm wondering if that's where his mindset is now. Is, look, the Heat don't have any notable salary cap space this summer, but like Riley said, that doesn't really matter sometimes. If a free agent wants to sign with you, if a player wants to go to your team, a lot of times things, you just figure it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to have been the Brian Grant and Eddie Jones situation. They manifested over the course of free agency in what was it, 2000, when those players signed with the team. It's so weird to consider. I mean, that such a short amount of time is enough to negotiate the details there. I guess it was enough to include a player like Jamal Mashburn for Eddie Jones. I can't even remember what was sent in exchange for Brian Grant, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe a couple of draft picks or something like that. Again, I mean, we have draft picks, but that's another concern then, I imagine, from Heat fans. If Riley is looking at the sign and trade route, given the status of some of our players, you're probably going to have to include at least a draft pick to sweeten any kind of deal. And I imagine that he's probably leaning towards Jimmy Butler as a potential free agent. We had a question about that, I think, in our last mailbag regarding Jimmy as a potential sign and trade option. So it's interesting that he considers the sign and trade the most viable option as far as being able to lure a free agent. I guess given our salary cap situation and our contract situation, it makes sense, but you know, maybe just hold off too. I mean, that's the other opportunity there, is just don't necessarily go after any free agents right away. I mean, it's, you know, Riley talks a lot during these press conferences. Not a lot of it makes sense, but I guess the hint that he's considering the sign and trade as the most viable option is telling, but the team hasn't really engaged in the sign and trade since 2010 when they acquired the big three. Yeah. And that costs us a number of draft picks for years in order to acquire those superstars. But do we really want to consider that as the most likely scenario for this summer?
And then for what player is the big question, right? LeBron James isn't out there to acquire via sign trade. And like Riley said, the only reason that happens is because LeBron wants to go to Miami. And I just looked it up, by the way. The Brian Grant sign and trade, the Heat sent Chris Gatling, Clarence Weatherspoon, and a first-round pick. And cash to the Cavs for Grant.
Oh, cash. Nice. Okay.
And it was in a three-team deal, so, you know, a bunch of people moved around. But it was complicated. But Riley's made these complicated trades before. I mean, we always think about Goran Dragic. That deal, they sent a couple salaries and two first-round picks to Dragic. No, they got, like, several teams involved. Riley, Riley is the master at orchestrating, like, these giant complicated things to get what he wants. And I don't – him and Andy Ellsberg are amazing at it. And so I don't – That's been a standard of Riley's career. The question I have is, how does that, and you kind of talked about this, how does that impact Miami's future? Where do they go? Even if they were to acquire a player via sign and trade, how do they pull it off? How does that impact their cap situation in the summer of 2020? Because as we heard Pat Riley tell Dan Le Batard midway through the year, he wants two max cap slots during 2020. And in this press conference, I thought it was interesting that he came off of that a little bit. He said, you know, I previously said two, maybe it'll just be one in 2020. So I don't know if that's hinting towards, all right, maybe he's looking to do that sign and trade now, which would obviously eat into cap space going forward, because that would in essence be a big signing this year that they otherwise couldn't afford. But So either you do that sign and trade now and it eats into cap space later, or you do that sign and trade now and it's a player as such and you're not sending out salaries necessary to create a future max cap slot, even one. And so whatever you do this year, whatever player you acquire theoretically via sign and trade is almost your max cap slot in 2020. That like, you're just getting that player a year early or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I've said before, I don't love the free agency class of 2020. You know, Anthony Davis is the guy, and that's kind of it. So unless the Heat are able to maneuver something, and if we talk about guys who are available now, we don't think Kevin Durant is going to Miami. He's already said no once before. It seems like he's going to the Knicks. Kawhi Leonard, I don't see that. It seems like he's destined for the Clippers. And you just start going down the line. Is Jimmy Butler the guy? Is it Kemba Walker? Is it like we've made the Jimmy Butler connection before. Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, he's partying in Miami towards the end of the year. We get it. Jimmy Butler maybe not be isn't super stoked about Amir Johnson being on his cell phone on the bench during a game one loss in the playoffs. But I don't know that Jimmy Butler's going to Miami. Like maybe he wants to go to the Lakers. I don't know. But Miami seems like that seems like the guy, right? Like if he's like, look, I want to go to Miami, and now all of a sudden the Sixers just sort of have to figure it out. And if you're the Heat, I don't know what you have to send back. Do you send back like Dion and Goran Dragic or something like that, a package around those two? Do you have to get the 13th pick involved? I don't know.
It always strikes me listening to Riley during these pressers that nothing he said before is has to remain consistent. Like every time you talk to him could be like the first time he mentioned something new, or he could change course completely. And it also always gives me the impression that there isn't necessarily a long-term plan in place. And maybe that's applicable to all NBA front offices. You're only as good as whatever opportunities are available, and those opportunities could change from one summer to the next. So maybe there's no point in staying focused on 2020 or 2021 when, you know, things could change in 2019. And maybe you got the same impression as I did, but it just seems like he's more interested in building something immediate. He sees the youth of this team and a couple of veterans that he thought were going to be able to make some, you know, growth and develop a little bit. I imagine he probably met Dion, maybe Kelly Olynyk,
James Johnson. I mean, maybe. He talked about this bamboo tree thing for like 10 minutes.
Oh man.
He was like, look, it takes a bamboo tree, you plant it, and then 10 years from now, it'll grow. And then after that, it skyrockets basically. And he's like, but I'm not waiting 10 years, but I want something basically to grow really fast. And I was like, I don't think then you needed to talk about the bamboo thing.
It's hard. Look, again, I mean, I can't help but change. You know, I realize there's a strong relationship between him and Dan Le Batard, which led to that interview midway through the year. And obviously, Riley has a well-earned reputation. I mean, even in Brooklyn for Dwayne's last game, there were pictures of Pat embracing LeBron James and things of this sort. Like the connection is still there. I feel like in person, his magnetic personality is just so much that you can't help but gravitate towards him. Like he probably does suck all the air out of the room because of his huge, larger than life personality. He is a commanding presence without a doubt. But there are times in these pressers where I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And I fear for the future of this franchise. And maybe we're overstating things a little bit because it is just an end of year presser and media are kind of like, you know, it rambles for 45 minutes. I can't imagine what that's like to be there for 45 minutes and to hear, you know, 10 minutes of bocce ball and bamboo references.
And to transcribe that, man, at the end, like, that does suck. Like if you're one of these Miami beat guys, like at this point, you just take down the notes that are applicable, because when he starts going off about bamboo, I'm not transcribing that quote. Sorry, not happening. Yeah, I don't know. His press conferences are routinely long. Like he does take the time. Like aside from the Dan Le Batard interview, which was a rarity, he doesn't usually do those things in the middle of the year.
Family fest, right? I think.
And then obviously all the Dwayne Wade stuff. Like Riley's quoted quite a bit in Pat Riley stories throughout the league this season. And of course he comes out and does that because it's Dwayne Wade. So you get it, but we've gotten a lot more Pat Riley this season in the last, I don't know, 10 months or so than we have in any other kind of similar period throughout almost his entire career, at least in Miami, you know? And so that I think, well, obviously, you know, since he moved into a front office role in Miami, but when he starts, he does seem to be a little realistic about where this team is right now, and that's good. And I think that's the positive that you take out of here. Now, he pushed back on a lot of things. He pushed back on a lot of things that reporters brought up. And I want to get into that, but let's do this ad read really quick. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. Check on your home anytime with the Wyze app live stream in 1080p full HD. Images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Wyze's mission is to create amazing smart home products that are available and affordable to everyone. Best of all, Wyze provides free rolling 14-day cloud storage and without any subscription, and it's just $20 a camera. Easily check in on your kids or monitor your home in the middle of the workday. For whatever reason you need it, Wyze can help. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com, WYZE/locked. There was a couple of times during that press conference, David, that reporters would sort of, I think it was Ira Winderman brought up the idea of getting off of those bad contracts. I think he said the word bad contract. And when he's talking about Deion Waiters, James Johnson, Kelly Linick. And Pat O'Reilly just sort of went at him and just like, why do you keep calling these bad contracts? And Ira has continually called them bad contracts in his writing throughout the season. And he's not wrong. But Pat O'Reilly sort of is finally like used this opportunity to kind of like push against that. And that, to me, worried me a little bit. Now, I don't know if that was just sort of PR spin a little bit there, but he talked about this idea of when we signed those guys, they were supposed to be better. And we're like, no, we know that, but they just aren't. And that's kind of the problem. And that's why they're bad contracts now. And they are bad contracts because the way
maybe
you judge that.
Maybe bad's overstating it, right? I mean,
is it though? Because like the way you judge that is, all right, let me call every team in the league and see if they want one of these contracts. And if the answer is no, well, then that's a bad contract.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. But you could also say that Goron's contract is quote-unquote bad, and I think he ultimately probably produces enough to justify that sort of deal, or he would if he had been healthy for most of the year.
There's a difference between bad and large, right? And that was another thing that Riley said. He's like, you've got players in this league getting paid $30 million a year. It's like, yeah, because that player is Kevin Durant. So that's okay. It's not just like the number we're looking at. It's the production versus the number, you know, the value that player provides. He did talk about Dragic a little bit, and he wouldn't say whether or not he wanted. So he was asked whether or not he wanted Dragic to opt out.
Well, Goran mentioned it in his own exit interview. So, I mean, that's a topic that he's addressed externally and probably internally as well. So I wonder if there's been any kind of discussions already about whether or not he might opt out over the summer.
Yeah, and Riley said that there weren't at the time of the exit interview. That obviously could have changed since then. But he kind of said that they hadn't had that discussion, that they'd have to figure that on their own. But also, no, I'm not going to do that. It's kind of what he said.
Yeah, that's why I don't buy any of it. I don't know what to believe there. Because it's like, you're telling us you haven't had a discussion. It's something that you'll consider, but no, it's not going to happen. So which is it?
Right. And so, look, there's a lot more we can get into with the whole Pat O'Reilly press conference. We could parse his words and get into everything. But the bottom line is, it's not really up to him what happens this summer. And he said this. He said that, look, it kind of is determined by what the players want to do. It's determined by how the rest of the landscape in the NBA looks. And, you know, he thinks that the Heat could be opportunistic. Heat fans hope that the Heat can be opportunistic and improve this team next year. He did say that there would be sweeping changes, and so these are some of the things that could contribute to those sweeping changes. And we'll see how it works out. I'm sure we'll get into a lot more of this, and we'll continue to reference the end-of-season presser, as we always do. It's an annual tradition throughout the summer. So for now, that's all we have. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and we'll catch you next time. Yeah! Wrap it up, B.